coming. Amen. Praise God. As Brother Alex gets ready to come, let's just sing. It's kind of a theme song around here now. It's by faith. Oh, yes, Lord.
It's by faith.
Say have faith in your faith. Hey, it has to say have faith in God. So many people that try to produce something. We're not here to work something up tonight. We're not here to try to make something happen. We're here to allow God to do what he wants, because what he has purposed for us, what he has planned for us, is greater than anything we could think or ask.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
It's greater than anything we could plan for ourselves. Amen. God bless you. And if you'd like to open to you in your Bible, St. Mark chapter 10. And we'll read here in the 46th. Amen. It says here, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out to Jericho with his disciples, speaking by the Lord, of course, and then a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highwayside begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should stop being Pentecostal. Stop getting excited now. Hold your peace there. Amen. That he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. Amen. I like that. Amen. They didn't want him to be a holy roller. He's going to be called a holy roller anyhow. Might as well get started. Amen. Got called a holy roller today. I thought, praise the Lord. He's going to do that. Everything he said is coming to pass.
Amen.
He's going to call me a holy roller. He says, hey, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. I want to go back up to this 50th verse real quick and read this one more time. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. So notice our Lord, he summons for him, he calls for him, and when this takes place, he casts away his garment, he rises, and he comes now to Jesus. Amen. I want to speak about this tonight. We might have a word of prayer first, so bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we've read your word tonight, and now we come to you, the author of this word.
Yes,
Lord, a man could interpret this his own, according to his own understanding and his own reasoning. But we come to you, Lord, the conductor of this great symphony, to come into the spirit of this great orchestra, this mind of Christ. For we know, Lord God, that you are the interpreter of your own word. This sure word of prophecy, this word which we received in this day, it doesn't need a man's private interpretation. But we thank you that you have come down and have thoroughly vindicated your servant, Malachi 4, that you have demonstrated what you have purposed in the back part of your mind before the foundation of the world. And we pray tonight, Lord, you would manifest thyself in this place to each of these hearts and each person, Lord. Be real to us tonight, Lord God, in a day and age when so much is make-believe and so much is fairy tale and there's so much unbelief. Be real to us tonight in this place. Make yourself known once again by the breaking of the bread as you did in the day that you walked with the disciples along the road of Emmaus, that they could say as we walked along the way with them, did not our hearts burn within us? Lord, as you took them in that evening time, you took them into a little place, and at that place, you broke the bread, you wrought the sign, and their eyes were open, and they saw Jesus once again. Be real to us again in this place tonight as we sojourn along the way. We commit this service into your hands now, so that a man will not handle it. May you give eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive. Give us an utterance by the Holy Ghost tonight, and in all things may you receive all the praise, glory, and honor. For we ask you tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The prophet of God speaking to blind Bartimaeus. He talks about 1954, and he says, I'd like to read this to you here. But this poor blind man, he said, he's sitting outside of a big wicked city, speaking of Jericho. This always was a wicked city, as far as I know, still a wicked city. He says, in the Bible, it says it's represented as the roads to hell. He says, it come yet. He says, Jerusalem sets on a hill, Jericho sets in a valley. And the good Samaritan found a man coming from Jerusalem down to Jericho when he fell among thieves. In other words, he's on this, I can't remember, I think it's called the road of blood or something like that. But it's the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. It says, so it says here, the good Samaritan found a man coming from Jerusalem down to Jericho when he fell among thieves. And he says, think of it. He was backsliding, coming from the heavenly to the curse. Jericho was a cursed city, Jerusalem was a blessed city, and he was on his road backsliding when he fell among thieves and robbers that stripped him. Amen? And that's when you'll fall among thieves and robbers, when you start backsliding away from God. Just expect the enemy to be along the road. Amen? So this man, and I want to talk about different types of garments as we were speaking here earlier. This man, he, if you read the story, and I believe it's in Luke 10, this man, he's along this road, these thieves come. First thing they do is they strip him, brother. Before they beat him up and take his money and anything else, they strip him of his raiment. Amen? And so he, of course, we know that the story, then these religious people, they all pass him by. Finally, a good Samaritan comes along, he shows mercy to him, and he takes him, he pours him the oil and the wine. Amen? And he takes him to an innkeeper. Brother Graham said, an innkeeper, he's the pastor, is that right? Jesus takes him to the innkeeper, feed this man so I come again and receive him. I'll pay for it now. I'll take care of it. Here's the down payment of it. You feed this man. You clothe him. You take care of him until I come back. Amen? I'm thankful for faithful innkeepers in today's message that will preach the message of the hour. Amen? So this man, though, I want you to see, he is the same man. He's on the road to Jericho, and he loses his raiment. So the purpose, you know, there's many reasons that we wear garments, and we have a certain way that we dress, but there's two main functions of a garment. And one is for protection. Amen? And the other is for identification. Amen? It's given to us. A soldier, when he dresses in a certain uniform, he arrays himself a certain way, it identifies him at what side he's on. Amen?
Right.
Come on, somebody. It identifies whose side he's on. He's letting everybody, he's letting every friend, and he's letting every enemy know what side he's on by the way he attires himself. And not only that, but the armor he places on is his protection.
Right.
When he doesn't get his shield up in time and one of them blows seems to get through, he's wearing armor so that it would deflect the blow for him. Amen?
Because
right.
He's not going to be able to catch everything in his own strength. He's not going to be able to withstand every blow in his own power. So his commanding officer has given him a means of protection. He's given him a helmet for salvation. He's given him a breastplate of righteousness. Is that right? He shod his feet with the preparation of the gospel. He's given him all these things that he can withstand. Is that right?
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And now people say, well, that's just spiritual. That's like I was talking about this last week at church. We were talking about this, you know. You've got Christian people nowadays, and they'll walk around all kinds of dress, Brother James.
That's right.
They'll call that Christian and say, well, it's okay. think God loves me, I can dress how I want. And the Bible tells, you know, and the Bible says even the New Testament you dress in modest. The parents says to dress a certain way, and they say, well, this is modest, and they'll walk around the beach in a bikini or something. It's like I tell people, if that's modest dress for the tent, if you wore anything less, it wouldn't be immodest. It wouldn't be immodest clothing. It'd be no clothing.
Right.
Amen. And you can't get any less than that, and there's no space in there. Amen. So
right.
So if you call that and see the whole thing, see people's it's their own interpretation.
Right.
And now every man does what's right in his own eyes. Is that right? That's what God said to send us a prophet in this day, so that we would have an example. Amen.
Yeah.
So God could speak, because look, the letter kills. Is that right?
Amen.
And people would try to say, well, modest. Well, I can interpret that, but it's the Spirit. Is that right?
Amen.
It's the spoken word that gives life. And so God has always had a voice on the earth, and God has spoken by the Son of Man, and this day through a Son of Man's ministry, so you wouldn't be caught unawares. Because look, Brother James could have an opinion what's modest, and Brother Kent could have an opinion, and they could be as far as east as from west. Is that right? But what does God say about it?
Amen.
What kind of uniform does the commanding officer want to identify you with, so everybody knows whose army you're enlisted in? Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I tell you what, we live in. Praise the Lord. I was actually talking. I kind of made fun of this. I was with this gentleman, and we were talking about the type of age that we live in, because they were talking about how, well, you know, these people, maybe they're homosexual, maybe they're born and they think they're a man, but they're really a woman. They're trapped in a man's body, and just going, and they're going on about this. I'm like, so, and I asked them, I'm like, so you're telling me that you're born to have a certain preference towards a male or female, but you choose your gender later? I'm thinking this is so backwards, because here you're already predisposed to like a certain type of gender, but yet you don't know what your own is till later. I think what an age we live in, where right is wrong and wrong is right.
That's true.
And she was telling me, and she was telling me like this. She said, well, I believe people, they're born that way. And I'm like, well, I agree. That's why they need born again.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I believe they're predisposed to that behavior. I agree with that. They are predisposed to sin. That's why they need born again, Brother Kent. It might be violence. It might be a homosexual. It might be lust.
Amen.
Whatever it is. I do believe they're born that way.
Right.
It's the nature of sin. That's why they have to be born again. Well, praise the Lord. See, in so many churches, they wrestle that. Well, we can't agree with them. I agree they are born that way. That's why, see, the churches, they've missed the power of the new birth. They talk about a new birth, and they know it's in the Bible, to realize what it really means, that your old nature was not acceptable in the sight of God.
Amen.
Your old garment, that old man Adam, what you were identified with,
yes,
in him,
sir,
it wasn't acceptable before God. Look, you can go to church and pay tithes. You might have grown up and maybe daddy was a pastor, or maybe they were a deacon or something. And it doesn't matter a thing to God unless you're born again. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says in Galatians 3, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Is that right?
Yes.
They've put on the garment of his righteousness.
Yes,
amen?
Sir.
They're no longer wearing their filthy rags, their own righteousness. But they have as blind Bartimaeus, they have cast aside their own garment.
Yes.
They have risen up from a place,
amen,
where they were like blind Bartimaeus, without sight, poor, wretched, miserable, blind,
yes,
naked, and they didn't even know it.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Paul says that we ourselves, we groan. If this house, he says, if it be dissolved, we have a house waiting.
Amen.
We have a tabernacle. And we groan. Is that right? The whole world's groaning. We groan what to be clothed upon.
Amen.
For a garment.
Amen. Amen.
This tabernacle on high, we desire to be clothed, to be identified, to be protected by this garment, lest we be found naked.
Amen.
Lest we be found without righteousness.
Amen.
Lest we be found in our own conceit and our own strength. Amen. It's not acceptable in the sight of God. Amen.
No. Amen.
Any more than it'd be acceptable for me to go to a job interview naked. Amen. Or because you think about it, even a natural job, you go and you dress a certain way.
Right. Yeah.
Why identify that, you know, this is the type of job I want, or that you know, and you're going to, I don't want to say it this way necessarily, but to impress somebody, amen? You want to show them you're serious about jobs, you don't go in there with a big old mohawk and stuff hanging off you and your britches down to your knees, amen? Why? Because you want to show them you mean business, amen?
Amen.
And we will dress that way to impress a natural employee,
yeah,
or a natural employer, is that right? But people think, well, God don't care about that. Why is God less concerned about it? Don't you work for God? Amen?
Amen.
Well, he told you how to dress. Is that right?
Amen.
He said, you know what? He's got an ornament for you. It's a meek and a quiet spirit. He wants to adorn you with that. Amen?
Right.
Not just the outward, but the inward. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord here.
That's right.
To put on means to assume the identity. It's a Greek euphemia, we talk about how we put on Christ. We put on the thing. It means to assume the identity of. And you see how a garment you need to identify with. So they've put on Christ, amen. Now think about this. Paul's speaking of this. He says, look, the promise is made to Abraham and his seed. Not seeds as of many, but one seed, one Christ. That's it. Amen. We're not here preaching Trinitarianism tonight. One Christ is who the promise is made to. Listen, if you've been baptized by new birth, if you've been baptized into Christ, you've put on the robe. Sure. You've put on Christ, and ye are Abraham's seed.
Amen.
You are so dressed in his righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, through the Holy Ghost, so you have assumed the identity.
Amen. Amen.
Come on now, somebody. All that God was, he poured into Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And all that Christ was, he poured into a bride.
Amen.
All of his vestment. Look, he laid aside glory. Is that right? To pick up humanity.
Amen.
He who knew no sin became our sin. Why? That we could be clothed.
Amen.
That we could become,
amen,
the righteousness of God.
Amen.
So when he took back up glory, when he took back up sonship, when he took back up dominion, you took it with him.
Amen.
When he died,
right,
oh hallelujah, look, when he died on the cross, he was stripped naked. Is that right?
Amen.
Why did he identify with your nakedness and sin, with your lack of a covering, with your lack of righteousness? He was identified even naturally speaking. Why? So you could be clothed.
Sure.
He was made poor so you could be rich.
Amen.
He was made to be a reproach so you could receive the praise,
right,
and glory that God had for you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That you could be accepted. He was rejected so you could be accepted by,
amen,
God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you what. Praise the Lord. I don't want to be found clothed with a denominational name, Brother James.
Right.
Some people try to clothe themselves. Well, I go to so-and-so's church, or so-and-so is my pastor, or I believe in such and such a way. That's not the type of garment I'm looking for, amen. That won't cover. Look, that's what Adam and Eve tried to do.
Right.
They sewed themselves a covering, but it wasn't accepted in the sight of God.
Amen.
God said, I'll slay an animal.
Yes.
I'll slay an innocent life, and I'll make that your covering.
Right.
I will provide for you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, these two in the beginning, they're in the garden, and they've got no covering. Is that right? Well, they had no sin. They had nothing to hide. But watch, as soon as they fall, amen, now they've got nothing to cover it up or to do away with it. Does that make sense?
Right. Amen.
In other words, their righteousness, they had a measure. There was acceptance in God's sight. But once they lost it, there was nothing they could do to get it back.
Right.
They couldn't go get more. You couldn't do enough to add to it. What they had to maintain or lose.
Right.
They couldn't add to it. They couldn't impute it. That's why when Adam has a type of Christ, he goes to redeem the woman, it doesn't work. Why? Because he has no covering of his own to give to her.
Right.
And so instead, now he's found naked. Now they're going to make their own covering, amen?
Uh-huh.
Good.
Identify with that reproach. But God says, I'll slay an animal. I've got a lamb.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world, I slay
it
to cover you, Brother Kent.
Amen.
Yeah.
So when you go, listen, they only had to mess up one time.
That's right.
Right.
Amen. They only had to mess up one time. And they were naked. And they were ashamed, amen? You can get up, you can backside 1,000 times a day. Is that right? But you've got a covering.
Amen.
Woo. It's greater than this old man. Look, this is not your identity. The identity is what you're wearing in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, if you had a man, you could take a man that's a beggar off the street and you dress them up, got them all cleaned up and dress them a certain way. He'd go in and act like he owns the place. And people would believe him. Why? They're looking at his natural attire.
Right.
Even James talks about it's sin. If you should take a man and come to the church wearing a big old gold ring, a big three-piece suit, a big feather in his hat. Man, this guy, he's a Christian. Let's put him in the best seat. And then another guy comes in here kind of wearing seersucker trousers and a t-shirt. Say, well, put him on a stool. You know, he's not dressed up enough for church. He says, you're partial.
Right.
Why? Because your attitude towards one man is different than another.
Right.
True, man.
True.
There's many examples in the Bible of dress. Clear back from the garden, we look at the coverings and different things like that, and all through the old covenant, you know, you talk about the high priest, amen. He had to be dressed a certain way.
Right.
He had to have a certain attire. Well, you know, he can dress however he wants. You know, God loves him. No, that's not how it works. God said he had to wear a certain outfit.
Right.
He had to have a certain type of sanctification. He had to wear a certain Urim and Thummim to go and that word, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. He says that we have one in this day. That covering, that breastplate, it would shine and let him know when God was speaking. Well, shall we go up and do such a thing? And that would shine. It would give them a vindication
right.
of the will of God. Amen.
Right.
How we need today to have this this light up, amen?
Yes.
Not just wear, but it has to light up. It has to impact us. It has to give us a voice. It has to give us understanding of the will of God for our own lives, amen?
Yes.
Look, Brother Ken, just don't tell me where I need to go get a job at, amen?
Right.
Amen? It tells me you need to work, and it tells me you need to be provided for. But there's so many things that were, at the end of the day, you have to be able to hear from God for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. What was the difference between Noah and the rest of his generation? Noah heard from God.
Amen.
Amen. That's all it comes down to. Noah heard from God, and he responded. Amen. What made Abraham so much different than anybody else? It wasn't because he was some great man. It wasn't because he was rich or powerful. He's a 70-year-old man. His wife's barren. What was it? He could hear the voice of God.
Amen.
God picked him out. Amen?
Yes.
And that was the only thing. He wasn't any different or better than any other man. Amen? God tells Israel when they were in Egypt, look, I didn't take because you're the greatest of nations. You were the least among all nations.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Look, God has picked a bride.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
When the people were invited to come to a wedding supper,
hallelujah.
And they said, well, I got to go prove an ox. Or I just got married to a church somewhere. I got married to a denomination. I'm married into the state. I've got to go buy a piece of land. I've got too much here going on. I can't come to the wedding. He said, you go into highways. You go into byways. You take the blind. You take the halt. You take the lame. Compel them to come in and put a wedding garment on them.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. He had prepared garments for them. And there's a man. He found his way in the back door, I guess, or something. He says, friend, where's your garment?
Right.
Well, I don't have them. Cast him out.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Right.
Praise the Lord. I preached a while back. I was talking about identity theft. I don't know if I preached it here or not, but I was talking about identity theft. I'm like, well, this thing's got to be in the Bible somewhere. If there's a Bible question, there's a Bible answer. Brother Branham, we talked about Genesis being the seed chapter. So I go back in there, and I find where there's a man named Jacob. That one day he decided to steal his brother's identity.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have a social security card to do it, but guess what? Mom went and got some of his clothes.
Uh-huh.
He went and got some of his garments. He padded them up. And he changed them around. And he goes in before his father, Isaac. And he begins, the Bible says, he smelled his raiment.
Uh-huh.
Right.
He smelled because of the clothes. The clothes he hadn't even smelled so much like Esau. He said, now the voice is Jacob's.
Right.
But he's dressed like Esau. He smells like Esau. What he's wearing, this has got to be Esau. His attire so deceived his father that he gave him the birthright, amen?
Right.
And look, it's the same with you or me. When you come before God, you're not coming dressed up as Jacob.
Right.
You're coming dressed as the firstborn, amen?
Right.
You're coming before God. It's like it's the same. And even the devil, he'll look at your life like, well, the voice is Brother Kent. But that don't smell like him. That don't look like him. Man, he's wearing something different. That can't be. Then he'll hear your natural voice and say, well, that sounds like Brother James, but that can't be him because he's wearing a robe.
Amen.
It's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's right. That can't be right.
Amen.
Amen. And so this man's natural. It was an identity. Amen. He stole his identity. Stole his blessing. Tamar is the same way. She sought a blessing. Is that right?
Right.
She wanted to have seed from God. And so she changes her attire. To look like a harlot. Amen?
True.
Why? Because she had a righteous desire
right.
to carry on.
Right.
See, is that right? To carry on the life of her dead husband. Is that right?
Yes.
You look at Samuel, he comes up out of the ground. Saul, he changes his attire.
Right.
To dress up like a beggar. The Bible says he changes his raiment and dresses a beggar. Why? To deceive somebody. And he goes to the witch of Endor, and she begins to call upon the dead. She says, I see the gods coming about there. And here comes a man by the name of Samuel. He'd been dead. And they recognize him. Why? Because he was wearing a mantle.
Right.
They recognize him because he was wearing something that identified him as a prophet. You know, Elijah had a mantle one time.
Right.
He uses to smite the river Jordan. Is that right? And when he ascends, he casts the mantle. He casts that second-hand robe down to Elisha. And he takes up the same garment, the same identification. The same anointing as Elijah.
Amen.
And he comes to the same river, amen?
Yes, he is.
Oh, hallelujah. Have you gotten any rivers today, amen?
Amen?
I tell you what, the same God of Elijah that spoke squirrels into existence.
Yes,
the same God of Elijah that here that his prayer, nothing would stand before it. Not even cancer. How we need an Elijah today to take the mantle of Elijah. He's
amen.
Left for us. The message of this hour is your identification.
Oh, yes.
This is your garment today. This is what clothes you today.
You're identified by this message. How we need to take this mantle and say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And sling the rivers of death and drive back the devourer today in our homes and in our workplaces and in our church. How we need to take up this identification, this garment that was given to you so you would have power to identify prophetic ministry, amen? Look, the Son of Man, he came and he was revealed not just in a prophet, but in a bride form, the prophet says. Is that right? In a bride's ministry. And he is still speaking today.
Yes, he is.
He is prophesying again to kindreds and to tongues and to nations. The message of the hour. She under her messenger is the final voice to the final age.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you what. Garments speak of redemption. Like I talked about in the garden. Is that right? They didn't have them there, but we have them in the end.
Amen.
God had already provided for them. God already knew there was going to be a fall, Brother Kent. God wasn't waylaid by the whole thing. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. The garments, it speaks of the type of redemption. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Probably he talked about this in Blind Bartimaeus. He said, I read the history of Blind Bartimaeus one day. They said he'd been blind for years. He had a little daughter he'd never seen. One night, he used to go up there and set the street. He had a little lamb. But the lambs used to lead the blind people like the dogs does now.
Right.
See, they didn't use dogs because they're unclean. So they had a lamb that would lead the blind. Is that right?
Right.
Brother Ram, he tells this question in places, but he had a daughter, this daughter he'd never seen before. She got sick one day. So Blind Bartimaeus, he goes up and he tells God, I'm going to offer up this lamb that led him around. It was his eyes, amen?
Right.
It was his leadership. He said, I'm going to offer up this lamb that the Lord would heal my daughter. So he goes up to the temple and he gets before the priest. The priest says, well, did you bring any money? You're going to have to buy a lamb. He says, well, I have money, but that's not what I'm going to do. I told God I'd give him this lamb. Amen? He wasn't just interested in giving a lamb, but he said, I want to give God this lamb.
Right.
This lamb that has led me. This lamb that has been my, that I have relied upon. That's the lamb I want to give to God.
Amen.
So he offers up this lamb, and of course we get to the Bible here, we read the story, it's during the time of the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all the religious people were gathered together. Is that right? People that should have believed. And
right.
Here comes Blind Bartimaeus, and he begins to cry out to God. And like I said, you know, their attitude towards it wasn't, oh man, look at this. This guy has faith in this man Jesus. We believe he's gonna be healed. Bless God, that's good for him. Now they say, well, you keep your peace now. You're interrupting our religious festival here. You're interrupting our church activity. We don't want you to get too blessed now. Settle down a little bit. You might interrupt service. You might get out of order now. Look, this man wasn't worried about that sort of thing. All he could see was the blessing because he'd heard of Jesus.
Amen.
And he believed that this man could give him his sight.
God.
Look, he'd already given up his lamb. He had nothing left. He needed God.
Amen.
I love when Brother Graham tells this story. He gives up this lamb. The priest is like, what are you going to do? And he says the same thing Abraham says. God will provide me another lamb.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. God provided him another lamb. A lamb from before the foundation of the world. And this lamb was not just going to lead him around, but he was going to open his natural eyes and give him sight. And he was going to lead this man by the Spirit, amen? By the leadership of God. Oh, hallelujah. So much better than a natural lamb. He didn't know what he was bargaining for, amen? When he took that little lamb up and they began to bleed, he said, what am I going to do? Amen? So he's here. He begins to cry out. And when Jesus hears it, he says, bring him to me. Bring this man to me. And you watch the first thing he does, before he goes to Jesus, he casts aside his garment.
Yes.
Amen? Now, we have today panhandlers. How many know the panhandling? They go out and they go on the street corners and they ask for money and this and that. And a lot of them, they're not really that hard off. They just do it to make money and they make thousands of dollars a year. Panhandling. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the Jews, according to the Old Covenant, they were to care for the infirm and the sick. And they had, it's like our welfare program. And so to avoid having panhandling and things like that, you would go before the priest. Amen? And you would go that they would identify that, oh, Brother Kent was born without his sight, or maybe this man was born lame here. And so they would take that man, they would give him a special garment. Amen? And they gave him this garment to identify that he was infirm. This garment identified that he was a beggar. It represented to him His lifestyle as a beggar, his limitations, his infirmities, everything he was identified. When people walked by him on the road, he was identified with the robe he was wearing. Amen? His whole lifestyle, all the people that made fun of him, his past hurts in his life, and all of his insecurity, all of everything he's wrestled with his whole life is caught up in his garment that he's wearing.
Sure.
And then identified him to such an extent that that's how people knew him. That's how they needed to give to him, because this robe identifies him. But when he sees Jesus, when he hears the Lord coming, and then he takes this robe, and he doesn't take it with him, Brother James, but he casts aside his old life. He casts aside all of his insecurity. He casts aside this crutch that he's used his whole life.
Amen.
Before he even rises up, he casts aside that this robe that showed that he was a beggar and that he was a blind man. He casts aside. Why? Because he knows he's going to be healed.
Amen.
He knows he's not going to need it in about 5 seconds.
Amen.
And so rather than he doesn't say, well, I better take it with me in case this don't work out. Amen. Like them people over there in Africa, Brother Man, talk about. They carry around their daddy's idol. Well, if God don't come through for me, I still got this to fall back on.
Right.
Amen. It's the same with a lot of Christians today. Right. Well, if God don't come through for me, we already got a list of things we're going to do. We have contingency plans.
Uh-huh.
But God wasn't looking for that. That's not the type of faith that saved this man. That made this man receive his sight. He said, you take your, this man took his garment and he casts it aside before he even goes to Jesus, because he's persuaded.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I'm persuaded that he is able to fulfill his word, that he is going to perform according to his good pleasure.
Amen.
He was so persuaded, he casts it aside before he even goes to meet the Lord. How many men of God today? How many women of God today? That'll cast aside, like Joshua, Brother Bram said, he had reckless faith. Amen. How many people that are so reckless with the faith of God that they're not worried about, is this going to work? Is it going to happen? What if it doesn't happen? We need people like blind Bartimaeus today.
Amen.
Who are so disinterested in their old life.
Amen.
Who are so disinterested in that old robe that they throw it aside as soon as they hear the voice of God. And they say, I'm going to rise up. I'm going to rise up out of the muck of sin.
Amen.
I'm going to rise up out of my own life. I'm going to rise out of denomination. I'm going to rise out of my own thoughts. I'm going to throw everything that I used to be aside. He didn't take part of it with him, amen. He threw the whole thing down. So many of us, we want to drag the coattails behind us in case we get cold. Oh, I'm not going to church and get a little cold. What you need is a fire, amen. You don't need a garment, you need a fire, amen. Because you can't get warm with a painted fire. How we need the Holy Ghost today. To come down and clothe us with Christ, amen. We are a people who believe that all things, come on, somebody, where we believe that all things are possible. Oh, we talk about church and we go to church. We sing songs, we preach and we sing, we have a good time. And look, the natural world can do that. Man, I'm so sick of religion. I'm so sick of just, well, we're just going to go to church. I'm not going to church, I am the church. And I'm going a second-handed road. Like Elisha, look, you couldn't cut the rope down. You had to go into it. God has a people who are in the day. He's got a mature bride, and she's grown into this. But she has made herself ready. She's put on a wedding robe. She's put on a garment. Is that right? She's going to a meeting in the air. She's got her wedding garment on. She's all unpacked and ready to go. Oh, hallelujah. She's not holding on to one thing here. She's not laying up treasures here. She's not storing up extra sets of clothes. Oh, I got to go in front of these people today. Well, I don't want to dress as a Christian.
Uh-huh.
Better identify with the world, amen?
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah, come on.
Brother Bram says here in Unveiling of God 64, watch this now. He says, look at that Syrophoenician woman run to him. He says, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He says, he never as much as raised his head. She had no claims on him as son of David. She was a Gentile. Is no more than my daughter has claims on me as a husband or my wife as a daughter. Yet she is my daughter and my wife. She's my daughter in the gospel. But earthly, she has no rights to call me a father. Amen? So in other words, his wife, even though he is a father, he's not a father to her.
Right.
Amen? She has no claims to him in that. He says, now notice, this gentlewoman had no claims to him as son David. But blind Bartimaeus did see he was a Jew. Amen. Says here, now, he came as son of man. Watch the next thing he says. This is striking to me. He says, you have to know these words in these things, he says. Look at Hattie right that time. When the third pole, he says, you remember it. Of everything, that woman said the right thing.
Right.
Amen? You've got to say the right word, the right thing to God. Amen? So now notice, he's talking about this whole thing and how he dresses. Now he brings it up to our day. Had he right said the right thing? She didn't cry out the son of David, is that right?
That's right.
Amen? Now watch this, he says here. Now notice, he comes first as the prophet and they crucified him. His own crucified him. He came as the son of man. And then after the Holy Spirit came, he was then the son of God. God is the Spirit. He was the Holy Spirit, son of God. He lived through the church ages as son of God. Now in the millennium, he'll be son of David. Sitting upon the throne of his father, David, he's the son of David now. And then remember, between the son of God, in the Laodicean church, they put him out. And in Luke, he said he would be revealed again as son of man, the prophet, fulfilling the rest of it. See, the scriptures tie perfectly together, son of man, son of God, son of David. What was it? It's the same God all the time, just changing his form and morphing. He just changed it. It's a great drama to him. He's just acting it out. Amen?
Yeah.
How do these actors, how do they change? They change their mask. They change their outfit. It's the same God. He's just changing the outward, the garment, the attire he's wearing. But it's the same God in Morphe, is that right? And so the same God, he comes as son of man. He comes as son of God. He's coming as son of David. He tells us here, between the Laodicean age and the millennium, he comes again as son of man.
Amen.
He's now addressed, or he's now identified in the son of man. Is that right? And just as Hattie Wright, just as blind Bartimaeus, just as the Syrophoenician woman, your appeal to God is based on what garment he's wearing.
Amen.
We don't cry out to him as son of David. We recognize the coming of the son of man. That's what entitles you to be clothed with a garment from on high. That's what gives you access to the rapture.
Amen.
That's what gives you power, access to this third pole, because you have the garment of the son of man.
Amen.
You cried, "Thou son of man, have mercy on me." You recognize his coming as son of man. You called him by the right thing. You said the right thing. You said, "I believe this man. I recognize it." Not just a God sent a prophet, but that he had come down in a prophet's ministry. Not just the voice that was speaking, but the voice behind the voice. I have recognized it. I have recognized God in Morphe, his identification through a prophet's ministry. And now his identification is your identification. It's not a token over your home. That the same God in Morphe, he's wearing, I said it like this, he's wearing badger skin tonight. Just like he did back there in the wilderness. He's wearing your badger skin tonight, amen.
Amen.
He's taking up tabernacle inside your garment, and he's now robing your flesh.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Look, it's one thing that we're identified in him, but he's been identified in you.
Amen.
In your flesh, amen.
Right.
He's identified with you. You say, "Well, praise God, I feel bad about that. I've done so many things, Brother Kent, to bring shame to him. How he'd be ashamed to be identified with me." Well, I'm thankful because that's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
It says that he that sanctifieth and he that are sanctified are one, for which cause he's not ashamed to wear their robe.
Amen.
He's not ashamed to be called, to be identified with them. Amen?
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what. The greatest drama, the greatest story ever told. Amen? Amen. You got access to it. You're part of it. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. I want to read here again. He says here in questions, answers 57. He says, "Now look, the body, he says, God is a spirit." How many understands that? Say amen. God is a spirit. Jesus is a man, and Jesus was God made flesh. Jesus was, he says, we could never see God. He's a spirit. You can't see spirit. No man has seen God at any time. Amen. No man couldn't see God. Amen. That's Kentucky for you there. No man couldn't see God. It is, and let me say this. You've never seen me. You've never seen me in all your life. And you never will see me. If you came to see a man preach tonight, you're out of luck.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to be disappointed anyway. I'll tell you that right now. If you came to see God, look, no man's seen God at any time. You ain't never seen me, amen? You've seen this. You've seen this thing that identifies me with all its reproach and all that it's done, all of its righteousness, which is about nothing, amen? But you've never seen the real me, amen?
Amen.
And you never will, hallelujah. Woo. See, that's right. You see this body that declares, it identifies, amen? It declares this person that's in here. He says, now this body doesn't have eternal life, but the spirit has eternal life.
Amen.
this body will go back, but it'll come forth again in its likeness. Oh, hallelujah.
Right.
Just like a grain of wheat goes in the ground. Christianity is based on resurrection. It is not replacement resurrection. So if you got any two soul people here tonight, I guess this book's not for you. It's not based on replacement. It's based on resurrection. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. How do you put it on? How do you put this thing on? You're clothed by your confession. Amen.
Amen.
The word of faith is nigh thee. It's even in thy mouth, in thy heart. Amen. With the heart man believeth, but with the mouth man confesseth. Is that right?
Right.
How did you receive the Holy Ghost? Amen. Through your confession.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is that right? Thou shalt confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is that right? Your confession. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
So many people, well, you know, they believe in a rapture, but how many can confess that the Son of Man has come?
Amen.
They're looking for a rapture to take place, and it's already begun. Amen.
Amen.
Even now, the molecules, the atoms are changing. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, like that prophet talks about there. He talks about it in April 63 there. He preaches God hidden simplicity again. He says, people, they're looking for the rapture to take place. He says, how do you know it's not going on the whole time?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That's what the Son of Man's come to do. Is that right? The Lord himself shall descend with a shout.
Amen.
With the message of the hour. The Lord himself. Look, men didn't give this to us. Amen. But flesh and blood didn't reveal this message to you. Amen.
Amen.
If you're here tonight because God has revealed it to you, that identifies you. Amen. As I talked about last time I was here. God has showed you this message. And if God has revealed to you, there's not enough devils in hell to take it out of you, amen? There ain't enough bulls to pull it out of you, amen? You can get a 10 horse wagon, try and pull it out. You fit 500 horsepower motor, is that right? And you can put the toe straps on and get a bulldozer. There's nothing can take it out of you, amen? Because it wasn't the power of a man that put it there. God put it there. Look, he didn't put it there when you said, you know, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he put it there before you were even born, amen? Before you were even formed, he knew you. He saw your substance when it was yet hid. Because you were there with him before the foundation of the world, wearing the garment, singing and giving praise unto God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That ought to get us excited, amen.
Sure, amen.
I tell people, you know what? That's why I was praising God then. I'm praising God now because I was praising back then.
Amen.
I was made to praise God. I was made to wear the garment. Is that right? Oh, I came into church tonight and I'm disappointed. I've got struggles. Put on the garment of praise.
Amen.
With the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Amen. Take your confession and say, strengthen the feeble knees. Confirm the feeble hands. Lift up the praise unto God. You speak to your soul and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Give praise unto God. You command your body. You command this garment of this natural robe to give praise unto God.
Amen.
And God seek us such to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what God's whole purpose was. You could give God the praise, amen? Look, he ain't looking for the frozen chosen tonight, amen?
Amen.
He's looking for firebrand. People are like a house on fire in a windy day. The more you try and put them out, the more they burn.
Yes, sir.
The more they light up, amen?
Amen.
People gather, it's like John Wesley said, get yourself lit on fire for God. And people come from miles around to watch you burn, amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, brother. Tell you what, you come from a small town, you really get that, amen?
Amen.
You get somebody burning something in the backyard and everybody's drive up down. We'll come back another time. Like it's the same fire it was before. You all laugh because you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, seriously, go do something else. And you're like, amen. But they will gather around to watch a natural fire or a natural train wreck or some other nonsense, amen. But you take a man, you light him up with the power of God, amen. Look, you don't have to make people come to church, amen?
No.
You don't have to make people, well, you know, you have to believe or do a certain way or don't do this and do this. And that's what religion does, amen? We try to conform people to these rules, but that doesn't clothe a person, Brother Kent. It takes the life of God to do that, amen? And look, your confession, it all comes, you, like I always tell people, Brother Bosworth told Brother Branham, you're never right about your confession.
Right.
Amen? On the story that I was talking to somebody at work or whatever. I'm not that much older than a lot of people here, I guess, but I'm a lot older than some of the people there. And we were talking, a long story, we were talking about just the stuff, and I was telling them some stories, some testimonies, and they're like, you've probably seen a lot in your life, some old man. I said, I'll tell you what, I witnessed the birth of the cosmos.
Amen.
I have seen the death of stars.
Amen.
I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He said, how can you do that? It's like, how can you do that? You're not a man yet, 50 years old. You see Abraham?
Amen.
Listen to me. Before Abraham was, I am. Look, Levi paid tithes in the loins of his great-grandfather. When Melchizedek came and met him. And listen, when he met Abraham, I was there, amen. Not, I wasn't in maybe the loins of Abraham, but I was in the loins of Melchizedek.
Amen.
I was in the loins of back of God, mine, amen. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. That Logos that came out, all that you ever were was hidden in that Logos.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Woo, you didn't just, you weren't just a byproduct, amen. You came from the same light, the same Logos. And when he said, let there be light, you were there.
Amen.
Oh, when he created the botany life, and he created all that creepy crawly thing. Oh, hallelujah. Look. Look, the devil wanted your place, amen.
Yes, he did.
I'm going to ascend above the sons of God. What sons of God? What's he talking about? The sons of God that were there with their father.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Everything he wanted. He desired to have authority. He desired to sit on the throne. He desired a kingdom. Why? Because he saw it where? With the sons of God.
Amen.
Everything he ever wanted, God has already said it was already yours.
That's right.
Oh, he tried to take it, but look, it's your inheritance. Nobody can take it from you, amen.
That's right.
It was yours in the beginning, it'll be yours in the end, amen.
Amen.
And when them great clinkers fell off and he spoke a Milky Way in existence and all the stars were hung in the sky, you had a front row seat.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let us make man in our image. Let him have dominion, amen.
Amen.
Look, when he made them male and female. Is that right? In his likeness. Male and female. In his same image. Him, male and female. Bridegroom and bride. Is that right?
Amen.
He made the man so much like himself. So he had the same problem he did.
Amen.
It's not good that man is alone. It's not good that I'm alone.
Right.
I want to have fellowship. I want a family, amen. It was so. He passed it on to his son Adam, is that right? Someone's passed up on our son, bro. Yeah. Tell you what, we're like, man, sorry, kid. he got that honest. Amen, he got that from me, is that right? Well, I tell you what, when you're one generation removed away from God, well, my father had a temper. So what?
Amen.
Well, they had this problem. They had this drinking problem. My father don't have that problem.
Amen.
Who's your father? God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God. Look, when that prodigal son came running back to his daddy, daddy already had the garment laid out for him. Is that right?
Right.
He didn't have to go down to Walmart and wrap one up, but he had a ring for him. Is that right?
Amen.
He had a garment. He had sandals. Why? This my son.
Amen.
Not this man that was a servant. Now I'm gonna make. But this man who was my son, he was dead in sins and trespasses. But he's alive again.
Amen.
He's alive. A father's prayer saved his son and brought him back. Is that right? And he puts on him a robe. He identifies him once again. This is my son that was dead. He's alive. And I'm going to dress him up like a son. Why? That's what adoption's all about. You dress him up in the robe, put the ring on him, you show him off to everybody.
Amen.
Why? Because you're identified. Now look, you might have some of mama's speeches, some of daddy's speeches. Look, that robe tells who you belong to.
Amen.
That robe says you inherited the business.
That's right.
All that was the father's is now yours. Your name's as good on the check as his.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you walk into the marketplace, they say, well, that's so-and-so's son. His name's as good on the check. His account's the same as his. Amen. He's run the same business. He's dressed the same way.
Amen.
Look, when you go into the marketplace, when you go to work, you go out there in the midst of the world where devils
Amen.
And sin and corruption. There's something different about you. It's more than just, oh, I got long hair, I got dressed. Look, devils can do the same thing, amen?
Sure.
But people, I pray this is our testimony. People look and say, there's something different about him. There's something different about the way. Look, I know people that might look that way naturally, speaking, but there's something different about him. It's your identification. Because you're wearing Christ, amen?
Amen.
You're not wearing religion. We're not wearing the fig leaves then, is that right?
Right.
I saw this person, I thought I was crazy, amen. I said, well, maybe I've lost my mind. That's all right. This will do until I get something better comes along, is that right? I have lost my mind. I lost my mind and found the mind of Christ.
Yes,
Why do I want the old one back? This is so much better. It's a lot more fun, too, I tell you what. Well, hallelujah, I tell you what. They were asked, the reason we got started is like, well, do you believe there's life outside of this world? Do you believe there's life from other worlds? I'm like, I sure do. You're looking at one of them. David, you're looking at an alien invasion. I'm from another world. I'm here to take over, amen. You say we were talking crazy. Look, Brother Man says in perfect faith that they thought Jesus was a mystic. Is that right? Because every time he talked, even his natural language, his confession, was so different than everybody else's. Well, she just sleeping, amen? Let's go to Lazarus. He sleeps. Well, he sleeps. He does well. He had to come down there. Look, I'm just trying to tell you, he's dead, amen? Uh-huh. Death was such a foreign thing to him.
Yes, amen.
It's so foreign, his thinking. Look, praise God. We serve a God, our Lord Jesus. He's never done priest a funeral yet, amen? Every time he showed up, he raised the dead, amen?
Amen.
This is the kind of God we serve, Brother Kent.
Amen.
Look, he didn't die. He died once, is that right?
That's
he
right.
Died and rose. He didn't die again. He didn't die in the dark ages. He didn't die in 1965. Our God, the light of forevermore.
Amen.
He can't die. He can't be kept down. He's got the garment, is that right?
Yes,
the promise made to Abraham. He is robed in it. You are robed in it as well, amen. That's what lets you come to a wedding supper. That's what lets you sit down on the throne.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes,
praise the Lord.
True. Amen.
When saints, they were gathered before the throne, they were wearing crowns. Amen. They had a testimony of God's redemption, of God making them kings and priests. Is that right?
Sure.
Look, you are kings and priests under God. Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to go up to some intercessor somewhere and say, well, you know, I need to take two turtle doves up there. You have a high priest.
Amen.
Yeah. You're dressed the right way. You have access to the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
You have access to the holiest. Why? Because you're dressed as a high priest. Amen.
Amen.
You're dressed in his garment. When he goes in, you're right there with him. Is that right?
Amen.
Just as Esther. Is that right?
Well,
amen.
It doesn't matter how you dress. Well, it matters for her.
Uh-huh. Amen. Right. The king didn't want anybody to come in there unless he was dressed the way he said. Is that right?
Right.
He received her because she came in the way that the king's chamberlain said to come in.
Amen.
Amen.
She came attired the right way, and she was accepted in his sight. She came according to God's provision, amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Tell you what.
Hallelujah.
It's like I said, I get so tired of religion, amen. You even message churches, we've got church order, we listen to tapes and we do this, but where's the people that are identified by God, amen?
Amen.
That's what the Holy Ghost comes to. It comes to confirm your faith, amen.
Yes.
Identify you, amen. Because the token is no good unless you put it on display.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, somebody. We didn't come to church tonight just to be religious. We came because we came to place our token above the door and on the doorpost and on the mantle. We came to place a token out and show the devil and
amen.
Show the world
amen.
And show God that we mean business.
Amen.
We're all dudded up in the righteousness of God. Amen. We're wearing a full armor. We've arrayed ourselves to battle.
Amen.
And we're going out and we're taking back everything that the devil stole
amen.
From us. We're taking
hallelujah.
Back our joy. We're taking
amen.
Back our health.
Yep.
We're taking back our peace.
Amen.
We're taking back our families.
Amen.
We're
amen.
Taking back the power of God.
Amen.
People let God in this message.
Amen.
People
yes,
that ought to know better.
Yes,
they let it fall to the ground. Amen.
Yes,
we've taken
amen.
Up Elisha's mantle. And we've
amen.
Cried out, where's the Lord God of Elijah?
Amen.
And we've seen the rivers driven back.
Yes.
In this church, you've seen the waters of death roll back. Amen.
Yes,
in my ministry, in my life, in my home, I've seen the devil. I've seen death roll back. Amen.
Amen.
Look, it wasn't my mantle. Elijah left it for me, amen. Elijah left it. Such a precious thing, amen.
Right, right.
To think. Rapturing faith laying on them tapes.
Right.
Right.
Amen. That's right.
Dust them off a little bit.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Go hit play when you get home, amen.
Amen.
Go don the mantle of Elijah on yourself. God, amen.
Amen.
Look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
It is the power of God and salvation,
amen.
Amen. I think I told this story here before, but Tommy Osborne, he was in a meeting one time, and they were praying for him in the meetings. They were getting ready to do divine healing, and they were praying that God would send power. God send him power. He kind of leaned over, and he didn't know he was on the microphone. He's whispering. Another guy said, they don't need more power. They need more gospel. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
Look, it's not separate. The gospel is the power.
That's
this
right.
message. This revelation, it is power, amen. It's not just life and then power comes later. It's life and power.
Amen.
The birth and the baptism is one and the same. The same God that spoke through William Branham. The same God that spoke this message is in you.
Amen.
He's given you a voice. He's given you a garment. He's identified you. Look, he's not any weaker than he was before.
No.
If anything, he's stronger. Because he's revealed that he is greater now than he revealed in the ages in the past. Is that right?
Greater works.
Amen. Look, they could believe for justification in Luther's day. They could believe for sanctification in Luther's day. They could believe for gifts in Pentecost. But we have come beyond just parts of God.
Right. Right.
Just parts of redemption. But we have come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
We've gone beyond just the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the very person of the Holy Ghost himself in the work of perfection.
Amen.
Put on.
Amen.
Clothe yourself.
Amen.
Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Amen.
This message has come to identify you, this bride, perfect in God's sight.
Amen.
She is right now the sinless, virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. There's not one spot on her garment. Amen. There's not a wrinkle here and a little ketchup stain there. Amen. She is. Clothes. She's identified. I no longer call you church. I call you bride.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been identified because you've got a wedding garment on.
Amen.
It's the message of the hour.
Yeah.
Amen. It's the message of the hour. Look, this token, Brother Ram said, it is Christ.
Amen.
This message is Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It's not like just a good commentary or a good idea or a way to get things from God. It is, God is his word.
Yeah.
Look, it's not, this is God speaking to us on tape. Thousands and thousands of discernment. Thousands of times, thus said the Lord, never failed once, contrary to some people's belief.
Amen.
Amen. Contrary to some people's belief. Well, I'll tell you what. They hated the prophets which were before you too. Is that right? Jesus said, blessed are you, men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Falsely.
Right.
For my sake. Amen. Look, we can sit here and we can ridicule the garment that God uses if we're so inclined to be so carnal about it. And say, well, look at this man that God uses as a messenger. Look at all his faults. We don't know any man after this garment, after the flesh. Amen. And they can look at that and try to bring reproach on that, but we're not identified with that, brother.
Amen.
We're identified with thus saith the Lord, amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Show me where it failed, amen. Show me where it didn't work. Show me where this gospel failed, amen. And you watch the first thing most people do, they leave the message, especially women, they change the way they dress. They change their attire. Whack all their hair off and wear all kinds of nonsense. Why? Because they don't want to be identified.
Right.
Amen. You, this stuff, and this is the thing. 1 Corinthians 11 is in my New Testament. I don't know about yours. Amen. Amen. To me, I'm thinking it doesn't take a prophet to do that. A prophet already spoke it.
Right.
His name is Paul.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
It's the true thing. It's like Brother Brandon said. And he asked if people are going to be judged. Amen. So, well, was Paul judged? Well, yeah. Well, then I'm fine. Why? Because I preach the Paul. Amen.
Amen.
The problem's really not with what Brother Brandon preached. You know that?
Right.
It's really what Paul preached. Paul's the one that said that a woman ought to look like that, and a man ought to look like that, and you ought to wear modest apparel. Paul's the one that said that a woman ought to keep silence in church.
Amen.
Oh, man. Well, here we go. Man, don't wear that garment. Somebody might make fun of you. Like an old fuddy-duddy. Well, praise God.
Amen.
God likes fuddy-duddy. Amen. God don't care about your neon glow-in-the-dark outfit and your bell bottoms or whatever nonsense you got. You know what I'm saying? God's not impressed with that, amen. But look, out of a pure heart where our conversation comes from.
Amen.
Look, we don't dress like Christians because we're trying to be righteous. We dress that way because we already are.
Right.
We're already clothed that way in the spirit, amen.
Yeah.
It's just a reflection of who we are, amen.
Yeah.
This declares what's on the inside.
Amen.
This body declares, look, you've never seen me, but you can declare the righteousness of God, amen. Is that right? That's what it all comes down to. Well, praise the Lord.
Glory God.
Tell you what, them saints over there, they're all wearing white robes. Is that right?
Amen.
You know, notice not. You can have one guy wearing a big fez, another guy wearing a big old moo moo or something. They were all dressed the same. Is that right?
Amen.
They all had the same garment on. I don't know why I picked moo moo. Now we're getting men's images and we saw them around. Well, praise the Lord.
Sure.
I'm not trying to make jokes. I just. You something said, parachuting out or whatever, amen. We all have the same garment, same righteousness, amen.
Amen.
Look, you've got just as much access to God. You've got just as much righteousness inside God as everybody else over there does.
Sure do.
Amen.
Your robe don't look no different than theirs. You know, that's the nice thing about, you know, you have uniform. Is that right? That's the nice thing about uniform. You look at these guys and nobody's getting one up on the other guy. Well, my outfit looks cool than yours. Well, I got new Nikes. Oh, yeah, well, I got this. It's all the same, amen.
Amen.
When you look at your brother and sister, you realize they're wearing the same garment as you.
Amen.
Look, it takes all the fussing and the jealousy and the keeping up with the Jones. All the nonsense that breaks up churches, amen.
Yes.
Well, I got to, you know, this brother comes in and he preaches. And, well, praise God, you know, you don't want to take the spotlight off of me. What kind of nonsense is that, amen?
Right, amen.
When do we ever kind of put the spotlight on ourselves?
Amen.
I'm not here to put the spotlight on myself. I'm here to put on Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Any true ministry of God, brother, is going to point people to Jesus Christ, amen.
Right, right. Amen.
Well,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, it's not like this is a new thing. People are like, well, you know, well, look at churches nowadays. Well, look at him in Paul's day. Look at him in John's day. John, you know, he goes to church there in 2 John. He says, this man, Diotrephes, he's the bishop there. He's the pastor. He loves to have the preeminence.
Right.
He won't let these other men of God come in. He wouldn't even let John come in.
Right.
Amen? Men that love to have the preeminence. So many people love to have the preeminence today. Is that right?
Right.
But look, we're here to give preeminence.
Amen.
Because that was God's purpose, to have preeminence.
Right.
God wants preeminence. Amen? Well, praise the Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Let's stand up. So many of us, like blind Bartimaeus, we find that, you know, maybe we're saved, okay? You know, maybe that's not what we're wrestling. Maybe it is what you're wrestling with tonight. But maybe you're wrestling somewhere else in your life. Maybe you haven't laid down that garment yet because you cling to that thing. Because if you think about it was, for blind Bartimaeus, it was a sense of security for him.
Right?
It gave him security. He knew he had an income. He knew he was going to be taken care of. But it was a false sense of security. Because that's not what God had planned for him. And some of us, we cling to things, and maybe it's something in our natural lives, maybe it's our jobs, maybe whatever it is, and we cling to it, and we favor it over the will of God, amen. Look, let us be like blind Bartimaeus tonight. Cast aside the garment of your insecurity. Cast aside what the world says about you. Cast aside whatever you're holding on to tonight, which is keeping you from rising up and going to Jesus tonight. Whatever's keeping you from the blessing, cast it aside tonight, as he did. As he did, amen. Let us bow our heads tonight. Our dear Father, we just thank you tonight. I was clothed in the rags of my sin. My own ideas one time. I had thoughts. I had an identity that the world had placed on me. I dressed a certain way or acted a certain way to please other people. One day I heard a voice, and the Master said, come unto him. Lord, I rose up and I cast aside that old man. I cast aside that old nature of Adam. I said, let me be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I'm sick and tired of who I've been. I'm sick and tired of this garment I've worn it my whole life. And all it's ever done is bring reproach on me, and the people have laughed at me, and they've ridiculed it because I was a man that was born blind, or because of whatever my infirmity is, and I've identified with it, and I've stewed over it, and I've nurtured it, and I've allowed sympathy and fleshly ideas to enter into my mind. But Lord, tonight, let us be like blind Bartimaeus. Cast aside our confidence in that natural robe. Let us cleave unto your word. Let it clothe us from head to toe, Lord God. Let us be clothed in your armor. Let us be clothed in your word, Lord. Let us forget the things of this world. Let us cast aside the armor of the flesh. Lord, if we depended too much on our own ideas or even our own faith, let us cast it aside tonight and take up that which you have given us, Elijah's mantle. Let us take this message and confess and believe that a body change is taking place, that we are people destined for the sky, that we are not of this world, that we've come from God and we're going back to God. That's who we are. That's what we're dressed as. It's for our identification. It's for our protection tonight. To protect us from the devil. To protect us from unbelief. Lord God, may we shout our feet tonight with the preparation of the gospel of peace. May we gird up our loins like a man with the truth of God. Oh, hallelujah, Father. May we be equipped for battle. For the war is raging, and it's greater now than it's ever been before. It's the greatest battle ever fought. But Lord, we have taken up the full armor of God. You've given it to us in this day, in this age, that we would be equipped for the battle. Tonight, I'm thankful to be gathered with soldiers in the gospel, men of God and daughters of God who fought the good fight. They've kept the course. They've finished the race. They've come to the end of this age. That we're the last people in this marathon, this last age. Lord, may we run the race with patience. May we not grow tired now. May we not give up right at the end. Too many men have sacrificed. Too many runners have run and passed the baton on for us to give up now. They're looking over the sidelines. They're rooting us on. You can do it. You've got the gear. You've got the garment on. You can make it. Oh, Heavenly Father, they without us cannot finish the race. They without us cannot be made perfect. Oh, tonight we cleave this capstone that we would put on, we would be clothed in the love of God. Not a sissified love that the world talks about. The love of God is something real. It's something true. It changes lives. It's changed our homes. It's changed our churches. It's changed who we are, that we've passed from death into life.
Hallelujah, Father.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you for a wedding garment. We thank you for a place, a reservation at a table where we will sit down and dine with you, and you'll wipe away every tear, and there'll be no more crying or tears, for the Lamb shall wipe away everyone. Oh, hallelujah, he's here. He's here tonight. He's coming again. He'll be wearing a vesture dipped in blood, a robe and a garment. It declares who he is, his identification, King of kings and Lord of lords. We believe you're here tonight, Lord. Have preeminence in this place, Lord. May you clothe us in every area of our life. Clothe us where we're insecure. Clothe us in our mind battles with the sound of mind. Clothe us in our weakness with the power of God. Clothe us in our failure with your grace. Clothe us in our sickness with your health. For with your stripes we're healed. And all our fearfulness clothe us with your peace, which passes all understanding. Oh, Lord, we desire tonight to put on this new tabernacle. Lord, to leave every weakness and every fall and every failure. We thank you prepared a garment for us before we ever came back to you. We love you for God. Thank you. God bless you tonight. Let's sing a song here. Let's see if I can find it. Amen. You got your songbooks at Psalm 206. How's that go? Lost and lonely within. Amen. You want to help me sing again tonight?
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Does anybody else know that one? I guess not. Hey, you want to sing me a song special tonight? She's looking it up right now. I just feel to sing that. Amen. That's our story. We were clothed in that. Is that right?
Amen.
But then in pity and love, the King of all kings in mercy and love, he took me under his wing. Amen. Oh yes, oh yes,
I'm a child of the King, His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and vile, now can sing.
Let's go!
don't light your fire, your wood might be wet, amen? I tell you what, we ought to be so thankful, amen? God furnished the gospel for us. God gave us the garment. God made a way of escape for us. God's given us power to overcome the devil any place, anywhere, anytime.
Oh, there is going to be a
tonight. Good to see each one. Appreciate the grace of God in our lives. Appreciate God giving us this